So blessed by you guys. I love you guys. Man, I had some others joining you guys this morning, and what a blessing. Hey, by the way, we have 100 here today. Isn't that awesome? God's good. 101, so hallelujah. God's faithful to us, and we just welcome you. People are finding out about God's grace, and you're discovering His grace, His love for you, and I tell you, His grace makes all the difference in our lives. Amen. His grace is so good and so precious. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand this morning, and wow, man, I'm excited about Jesus today. You guys may get out of here about two or three today. Just want to let you know. But no, if you're a guest this morning, don't be too nervous, man. You know, it's like, and we're pretty laid back around here. You'll find that out. That's what I love about here. You know, you can just kind of come in and hang out and just feel at home. You know, you should feel at home in God's place. You should feel at home. You know, you should feel comfortable in God's place. Amen. Man, His place is awesome. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, we're going to start in verse 32. We've been talking about confidence, and we're going to continue talking about confidence because we need confidence today. Amen. Confidence leads to something else. We're going to discuss that this morning. But Hebrews 10, and let's start verse 32, I believe is where I want to start this morning. Writers writing to Jewish believers who have been persecuted. But recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings. You endured a great struggle with sufferings. Well, Pastor, I thought once I become a believer, I no longer have to suffer. No, that's not true. If the Bible says those that are righteous in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You should suffer persecution, but you shouldn't suffer in other areas of your life. Yeah. Come on, somebody. You might suffer persecution, but you shouldn't be suffering in other areas of your life. Well, thank you, Holly. Amen for that. I appreciate that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Go on down. Let's look at this. Partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and what? Tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. So they were going through tremendous persecution. As a believer, you might go through persecution, but you don't have to suffer financially going through persecution. Amen? Amen? Because if it is taken away, God's going to give it back. Amen. Amen. That's how good He is. Hallelujah. Because this is what He said. For you had compassion on me in my chains. Paul was saying he was in chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Hallelujah. God's good. Therefore, do not cast away what? Your confidence, which has what? Great reward. Amen. For you have the need of endurance so that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Amen. Let's make this confession this morning. Hold up your Bible with Pastor. Say it with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess my mind is clear. My heart is open to receive God's word. And I will never be the same. Never, never the same in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to somebody this morning, give them a high five and say, I've got confidence. How about you? Hallelujah. What the writer of Hebrews was saying is hold on to your confidence in Christ. Don't give up. Turn to somebody and say, don't give up. Amen. Hold on to what God has given you. Don't give up. Hold on to the promises of God. Don't give up on what God has promised you. He said endure because God is a good God. Amen. And God's got nothing but good in store for you. He wants you to understand that this morning. Hang on to your confidence. Be fully assured. You guys can turn me down just a little bit. Be fully assured of what you have in Christ. Be fully assured of what you have in Christ. Amen? Be fully assured of your peace. Be fully assured of your joy. Be fully assured, have confidence in the healing that He has for you. Hallelujah. Be fully assured, fully persuaded. Amen? Look at 1 Corinthians 15:58. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Hallelujah. Praise God. Be fully assured. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be what? steadfast, immovable, always abounding, what? In the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Be steadfast. Have confidence. Turn to somebody and said, hang in there. It's not time to give up. It's not time to quit. Oh, but Pastor, you don't know what I've gone through. I don't, but God does. And he's right there with you. He said he'd never leave you or forsake you. Have confidence in him. When you have confidence in his love for you, hello, and confidence in the abundance of grace that he has for you, and confidence that the blood of Jesus has made you righteous, you step into a different level. When you have confidence that God loves you unconditionally in spite of yourself, when you have confidence that his grace has received you, his grace has received you, his grace has received you, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, his grace has received you today. And when you know the blood of Jesus has cleansed you from all unrighteousness, it brings you to a new level of confidence. Glory to God. Ephesians 1:6, look at this. Ephesians 1:6. When you have confidence that that blood has made you right in him and put you in a right relationship, then you have confidence in that blood to get you through every situation. Amen? When you know his love is unconditional, and no matter what you've done, where you've been, what's going on in your life, God loves you, period. And when you know that he loves you, it's not that we focus on loving him. It's knowing how much he really loves us. Because when we know how much he really loves us, then we can't help but love him. Wow, hallelujah. To the praise of the glory of God, his grace, everybody say his grace, his unmerited favor on my life, but which he made us what? Accepted. Where? In the beloved. Turn to somebody this morning and say, I can't believe that, but I guess that's true about you. Hallelujah. I can hardly believe that, but I guess it's true. God accepted even you. God accepted even you. God accepted even you and you and you and you and me. God accepted us in the beloved. Why? Because of what we've done? No, it's all because of what he's done. Because what he's done, we've been accepted in the beloved. Therefore, the focus is no longer on us, but the focus becomes on him. And when the focus becomes on him, you know that that grace just makes life so much better. Hallelujah. Woo! Man, God, you're so good. And he's given us the blood of Jesus Christ. It's cleansed us from every sin. God doesn't even remember your sins. Not only yesterday, today, and forever. You've been eternally forgiven. We have eternal redemption in Jesus Christ. Not just for a day, not just for a moment, not just for a second, not just for the next time you blow it. Come on, somebody. Amen. We have eternal redemption through Jesus Christ. Look at Revelation 12 and 11. Revelation, the revelation of Jesus. We want to get a revelation of Jesus this morning. I want you to have a revelation of what God has done for you this morning. When you have a revelation of what God's really done for you, you have extreme confidence to be an overcomer and not be overcome. Wow. Revelation 12, 11. And they overcame him, who? The enemy, the accuser of the brethren. How? By the blood of the Lamb. Because the accusation, see, the enemy's trying to steal your confidence. He attacks a believer in his confidence because he knows that that confidence leads to authority. And he wants to attack you in this area and tell you how bad you are. The only thing he can do is throw accusations at you. And if you would play mind games, there's that John Lennon song again, man. Man, I can't get out of the 80s for some reason lately. It's like, man, it's like, you know, I kind of like the 70s a little bit better. You know, I like some of the 70s stuff. Yeah, even some of the 60s stuff was pretty good. You got to admit, you know, but better than 70s, Jeff says. Come on, brother. Jeff's in an 80s band, so he knows all about that 80s stuff. He's an 80s guy, you know, so hallelujah. And they overcame him, why? By the blood of the Lamb and by what? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb because you've been declared righteous now. You're no longer just a sinner saved by grace. You are righteous in Christ Jesus. You've been declared righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. God has made you righteous, not in your actions, but in your spirit. Your actions still may look like you're unrighteous, but when you're a believer, God has made you righteous in your spirit. Your spirit is that inward part of you, your spirit and your soul and your body. And God has made you righteous in your spirit. And when he looks at you, he doesn't see you any longer. He sees Christ's blood applied to your heart and has made now you are righteous and you are an overcomer. Turn to somebody and say, I'm an overcomer. How about you? So we overcome. How do we overcome? The Bible says we overcome. Whatever you're going through, I want to tell you, you are an overcomer in Christ. In fact, the Bible says we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So we know that we have the love of God. We have the blood of Jesus applied to us. We are righteous now. We have his grace. Amen. And it puts us in a new level. And we're overcoming every day. Every day you're overtaking. Every day you're overtaking. If you ever go to the Bahamas, they don't have no pass signs. They have no overtaking signs. So I want to tell you, you're now overtaking. You are now on top and not on bottom. You are the head and not the tail. Some of you have been there too long, amen? It's time to change directions. It's time to get a new perspective. Right? You need to be the lead dog. We were out in Wyoming, and we went out snowmobiling this year. God just granted us a great trip out there, and it was such a blessing, and Holly never been there. And they had, you know, we were on snowmobiles, and they had, you know, dog sleds. And the guy's kind of laughing. He says, you don't want to be at the back end of those dog sleds. He's like, a lot of people, they like, you know, riding the dog sled. They think it's exciting. But he says, you know what comes off those dogs, don't you? He said, once you're done riding on a dog sled, you have dog poo all over you. It's, turn to somebody and say, it's good to be the lead dog. Some of you have felt like, boy, I've had dog poo all over me lately. It's because you know why you're allowing the enemy to throw that on you. You need to just change your position. You get it. You don't need to be on the back of a northbound mule. That's an old expression, man. Some of you'd never get that. Amen. Faith, that you know what I'm talking about. Come on, she's going, amen, Pastor. I know what you're talking about. Hallelujah. God has made you to be an overcomer. As a believer, you are an overcomer. And you overcome him because of your right stance and your position in your spirit of how God sees you now. He sees you in Jesus Christ, and you're overcoming every day. Amen? This is the victory that overcomes our world, even our faith. You're no longer walking by sight or by your feelings or by your emotions. You're not walking in that arena of your emotions or by feelings. No, you're walking now by faith, and that faith makes you an overcomer. The blood of the Lamb, and what else? The word of your testimony, your confession, makes you overcome. You need to start confessing what you are and not what you think you are, unless you know what you are and thinking you are in Jesus. Did you get all that? Amen. Because some of you allow yourself to start that, Holly said, stinking thinking this morning and start thinking the wrong way. You need to start thinking and lining up your thoughts with his thoughts and what he calls you. He calls you righteous. He calls you forgiven. He calls you healed. He calls you prosperous. He calls you on top and not on the bottom. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, you can do better than that. Amen. That's who you are. Forgiven. Woo. Not just saved, saved, forgiven, delivered. Not trying to get delivered, I am delivered. Woo. Through his unmerited and undeserved favor, God has given us authority to do the same things that Jesus did during his ministry. What? What? What'd you say, Pastor? I said, God has granted us the authority as believers here on this earth. Once you understand your confidence, you move up to the area of authority. Amen. And then you start walking in this authority. It's really not your authority. It's his authority given to you. but he's given you the authority to operate on this earth even as he operated on this earth. Includes supernatural acts like healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons if you have to. I never go looking for them. Hello? But if I had to, I could cast them out. I don't believe in just chasing after the devil. He's defeated anyway. Defeated means he doesn't have a foot to stand on. Just to say. So we start seeing ourselves as who we are in Jesus Christ, not just ordinary people, amen, but we have authority given to us by Jesus Christ when we have confidence in his unconditional love, confidence in his grace, and confidence in the blood of Jesus. Amen? This power is given to us, to every believer, to be an overcomer and to act like Jesus act. Wherever you go, you have authority. Amen? God's given that to you. Jesus Christ himself passes it on to us. Romans 5:17, look at this. Romans 5:17. Love this scripture. Love this first scripture. For if by the one man's offense, Adam, death reigned through the one, death reigned through Adam. We all have died or die because of Adam's transgression. But look at this. Much more, everybody say much more. Much more, those who receive, you've got to receive it, the abundance of what? The abundance of grace. There is no grace shortage. Grace is in abundance. Receive it. Why? Why did he say abundance of grace? Because you and I need abundance of grace. We need that grace every day of my life. I don't know about you, but I need that grace every day and every moment of my life. I'm going to receive it, the abundance of grace. If we receive it and the gift of righteousness, you're not working to try to be righteous. Religion will tell you you've got to do something in order to be righteous. Jesus says you've got to receive something in order to be righteous. What you receive him. And once you receive him, you become righteous. Religion will wear you out, man. It will wear you out. You try and you say, I just can't make it. No, you can't. That's why he did, because you couldn't. Yeah. Woo. Woo. It is, baby. Thank you. Righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Turn to somebody and say, I'm reigning. Reigning as a king. A king is one who has authority. A king makes decrees, and when a king makes a decree, that thing happens. When you are walking in your authority, you can open your mouth and make decrees and see things turn around and start happening. You're going to see amazing things in your life when you come to that place of receiving all the love he has for you, the blood he has for you, the grace he has for you, and you start walking in it and start speaking and calling those things that are not as though they are. Turnaround is coming to you. Turnaround says turnaround's coming to you. Amen. Hallelujah. We reign as kings. Kings make that declaration, and we reign in life. Hallelujah. Wow, look at Luke 7, Luke 7, verse 1 through 10. Let's look at authority here just a moment. Luke 7, 1 through 10. Now when he concluded all of his sayings and hearings of the people, he entered Capernaum, this is Jesus. And a certain centurion servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. Centurion was a Roman guard, a Roman soldier, a Gentile. Everybody say Gentile. Didn't know anything about the law. Say hallelujah. I saw where there was a big fight over the Ten Commandments in Little Rock. They're putting it back up again. I thought, oh, if they could just put up John 3:16 and John 3:17, how much more effective would it be than preaching the law to people? You know the preaching of the law kills? Do you guys realize that? That's what the word says. The word says the letter killeth, but the spirit is life. I don't know about you, but I want to be preaching out of the spirit and not out of the law. Amen. Come on, somebody. Amen. I want to give people life, not death. There's so much death going on in churches. No wonder Christianity has struggled, because people have preached death and not life. God, when you come to this place, you're going to receive life. Hallelujah. You're going to receive life from Jesus Christ. Amen. Not the preaching of death, but the preaching of grace in his finished work. Man. So when he heard about Jesus, man, I love this. He sent his elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. Man, this guy had compassion for those that was working under him, didn't he? And when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one for whom he should do this was deserving. For he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. Man, this guy was a giver too. Man, I love that. Isn't that awesome? He loved the Jewish people. How many love the Jewish people? Man, I love Israel. I don't know about you, but I love Israel. I love the Jewish people. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, Lord, called him Lord. He was a believer. Called him Lord. Do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Listen to what he said. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and my servant will be healed. Speak the word, Jesus, and my servant will be healed. Listen to what he said. For I also am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to one, go, and the one goes, and to the other, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. It was a Gentile who had great faith, and the reason he had great faith was because he was a believer in Jesus and he wasn't familiar with the law. He was only familiar with the goodness of Jesus, and he was one who knew his authority because he practiced in that area. Folks, when you know the authority, you can blow him away. You can blow the devil away. Make my day. This is the most powerful handgun in the world. It'll blow your head clean off. Let me open it up. Clint Eastwood's still one of my favorites, guys. Gotta tell you. Man. But you gotta open it up. You gotta give it to him. Amen. Take your authority. You gotta take your authority. Jesus gives it, but you've got to receive it. And Jesus, by the way, he healed the servant. Awesome. Genesis 1:28. You know this scripture. Way back in the day, way back in the time. This was God's purpose for man here on earth. Do you know that you're supposed to rule and reign here on earth? God gave you that purpose to rule and reign here on earth. This earth was made for us. Amen. The enemy is always trying to get your authority. He's trying to attack your confidence. As a believer, he tries to attack your confidence, right? Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish. I love that. Every time I go fishing, I have dominion over them fish. I catch fish. If you're not catching fish, you need to go with me and let me teach you how to catch fish. Because every time I go, I claim my dominion over them. Amen? Dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. I think the King James says everything that creeps, right? So all over all the creeps, we have what? Dominion. You know, the enemy attacks us as believers trying to get this. What he stole was the authority. Jesus came and reestablished that authority. And so what he's trying to do is always trying to attack your authority. As a believer, that's what he does. If you're a married couple, he tries to attack your authority, then he tries to attack your marriage. Right? Because there's no powerful place on earth except when two agree. When two agree is touching one thing, it shall be done, Jesus said. So he'll try to attack your marriage relationship. If you're a single person here, God wants you to make sure that if you're out there in that dating arena, that you're dating someone that is a believer if you're a believer. Why would you want to spend time or even waste your time hanging out with someone that wasn't on the same level as you are? That's why the Bible says don't be unequally yoked. Ooh, it's real quiet. What? What's up with that? You'll have a lot of difficulties in life if you marry someone that is a non-believer and you're a believer. An unequally pair of yoked of oxen, one is always pulling harder than the other. They're very hard to control, and they don't make very straight lines when they're plowing a field. And that was the example he was giving over in Corinthians. So as a married person today, or as a single person today, you know, wait on the Lord. God's got somebody good for you. Come on, single people, say amen. How many, just by coincidence, how many single people do we have here this morning? You're a single person. Raise your hand. Wow. Look at that. You guys, wait on Jesus. God's got somebody so good for you. Amen. Don't just jump in there because they may look good and even though they may even carry a Bible. Well, I'm really preaching now. Amen. You know, you just need to focus on Jesus. Focus on Jesus. God's going to bring you the right person in your life. It'll happen. It'll be so good, so graceful. I'll be so blessed to, you know, perform your wedding ceremony. Hallelujah. It'll be awesome. But I'm saying wait on the Lord, because if you don't, you get yourself into all kinds of difficulties and you're always pulling, hey, let's go to the house of the Lord today. No, I ain't going to do that. And I'm staying home, watch the ball game, you know. I'm too tired. You go ahead, take the kids. Man, you don't want that kind of life. You want somebody, you say, yeah, let's go together, baby. We're going in agreement. Hallelujah. We're going to receive of the Lord today. Amen. And you might be single and never desire to be married, and that's good too. I say that's good too, because there's a lot of things worse than being single. Amen. So that's good as well. And I'm not even teaching on marriage and relationships this morning, but I want to tell you, it's so important, because if the enemy attacks your authority, next thing he attacks, if you're a married couple, he'll try to attack that relationship you have to get you out of chord instead of being in unity and in chord. Amen. God wants you staying in unity with one another. That's where grace comes in. You need to have grace in your marriage. Believe it or not, you're not perfect. No matter what your wife has said about you, you're not perfect. Amen. And you know what? She's not perfect. And you need God's grace applied to every area of your life and marriage, that you receive each other and you walk in grace and you forgive one another, even as Christ has forgiven you. You walk in that forgiveness. Turn to somebody and say, well, that's really good teaching, Pastor. And you allow grace to cover your life and your walk, amen, and you receive each other with joy, and you pray over each other. You pray over each other, amen, and you love one another, and you care for one another. Come on, somebody. Man, God's got good for you. Married couples, God's got good for you. Oh, yeah, but I've been married for 20 years, Pastor, and it's just not the same. Well, God can make it brand new. Amen? She don't look the same. Well, guess what? Near to you. Oh, God, you're so good. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go on. Subdue it. Take your authority, man. Get your authority. Praise God. Matthew 16. 13 through 19. Let's look at this a second. Matthew 16, 13 through 19. Give me a few more minutes here, and I just want to share this with you. So good. Love this. Amen. Matthew 16, 13 through 19, the revelation of Christ. We need to have the revelation of Christ in our life. You know, most people don't have the full revelation of all that God has done. I don't know if we'll ever get the full revelation, because it's so great. It's so good. It's so awesome. Jesus is so wonderful. He loves you so much. I don't know if we'll ever have that full revelation. I'm praying I receive that. Praise God. But man, I'm telling you, if you get this revelation of His unconditional love, His grace for you, what God's done for you on that cross and that finished work, when He said it was finished, He meant everything was complete. You don't have to beg Him for anything anymore. You just receive what He's done for you. Look what he says. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So, you know, some of them said John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or maybe one of the prophets. You know, that's what like the world is today. They've called Jesus everything but Lord. Just a thought. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Look what Jesus said. Jesus answered and said to them, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." May you get a revelation of Jesus today. Before you leave, may you have a full revelation of all that he's done for you, that he loves you where you are, that he's got great purpose for your life, that he cares for you today, that he's not left you, he hasn't forsaken you, and that he has destiny planned for your life, something great for you to do. Get a revelation of God's love for you today before you leave this place, man. Hallelujah. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Now, he wasn't building it up on Peter. I'm trying to, brother. There's a large denomination out there that says the church was built upon Peter. It wasn't. Peter was a man, just like us. In fact, Peter was married. Do you realize that? It wasn't built upon Peter. It was built upon the revelation of who Christ is. The church should never be built on a man. It's got to be built on Jesus. Everything's got to be built on Jesus. We build our house, we build our life on Jesus. If you want to have success in life, build your house, build your life on Jesus. You want to have success in your marriage, build your house, build your life on Jesus. You want to have success in your business, build your house, build your business on Jesus. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Amen. Peter, on the rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. Whoa. And then listen to what he said here. Next verse. And I will give you the keys to the kingdom. Here's keys to my kingdom. You don't have these. These are my keys. Praise God. I don't even know why some of these keys unlock anymore. I got so many keys down here. It's like, let me see. Praise God. There's my Jeep. There's, I think, the church. How many got a, some of you got a key to the church? I know we give. I gave you that key. You know why I gave you that key? Because I trusted you to get in here. Christ gave us keys. We have keys in his kingdom. Keys to unlock doors. Keys to lock doors. Keys have two purposes. They unlock and they lock. Amen? And he says, I've given you keys to the kingdom. Amen? You can unlock some things in your life. God wants to set you free. God wants to unlock some situations in your life, and he says, I've given you the keys, and I've just told you what the keys are. When you receive Christ, you open up your mouth and you speak over there. Every time you speak over a situation, you're unlocking the door. Look what he says, keys to kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Hallelujah. God has given you the keys. You've got the keys. You've got the authority. Someone in authority has keys. The guy in this building trusted us, gave us keys because we paid the price. Amen. Jesus paid the price for you to have the key. When you get that new car, you paid a price. Well, at least you put down a deposit, but you got a key, right? Amen. You can operate that car. I can operate my Jeep. Praise God, because I've got a key. Man, God is awesome. He's good. He's given us the keys. The only thing he's saying is for you to use the keys that you got. Start opening your mouth, start unlocking the doors, start having that revelation of who you are in Jesus, start taking your dominion, amen, and don't give it to the enemy. We give it to him. He loves to take it. If you want it, he'll take it. You need to be free from drugs, you got the key. Start declaring who you are in Jesus. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Start declaring that. Amen. You've got the key. God's given it to you. Unlock the door. Stand this morning. Hallelujah. Matthew 10:1. Put it up in the Amplified. Matthew 10:1. Let's see if we can go there just a second. Praise God. Matthew 10:1. Praise the Lord. Oh, God, you are good. And Jesus summoned to him the 12 disciples. We've got about 100 here today. And gave them. Everybody say gave them.
Yeah.
Gave them power. Gave them authority. You've got authority to see your marriage changed around. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for me. It didn't say anything about the wife having to love the husband. Isn't that amazing? It said, husbands, love, agape, your wife. When you agape your wife like Christ agapes the church, then in response, your wife will love you. Woo! He gave it to us men to do that. Some of you need grace to do that, I know. But receive that. Honor them, amen, and they will respect you. Because what a guy needs is respect, R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Find out what it means to me. That's what a guy needs. Man, I'm on this family stuff today because somebody needs this today. Women need to be loved, security. Guys need to respect, amen. What's up, brother? Guys need that. They need that in their life. That's something that and only women can really give that. They give it, man. And they give it when you give what Christ has given you. And when you give out that love to them, man, you talk about awesome. Loving people in Jesus is an awesome thing. You cannot be offended anymore when you love somebody in Jesus and you receive his full grace. Offense will bounce off of you because you see the best in people. They're just having a bad day. They didn't really mean that. Amen. When you're walking in that love, listen to me. Offense bounces off of you. Turn to somebody and say, I'm no longer offended at anybody. Would you do that? Can you make that confession? Can you make that confession boldly this morning? I'm no longer offended at anybody. In fact, I choose to walk in love. Some of you, before you got here this morning, you were fussing at the kids, you were fussing at the dog, you kicked the cat. Hallelujah. Amen. And you know, you came in probably feeling a little guilty, and you shouldn't even need to hold your head up high. Amen. I can go to all these stuff. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you, God loves you. He's already forgiven you. Amen. Walk in that love. Receive that. Young, married couples, walk in your unity together. Walk in that unity. Don't let anything come between that unity. You know, if your husband hurts you, forgive him. Love him. If your wife hurts you, forgive her. Love her. Walk in that unity. God's got good for you. He's got good for your kids. He's got nothing but good coming your way. He wants to attack you, and the enemy attacks you to try to divide you, to get in between you, right? And get you going like this. No, man, you refuse that. You see it. You see it for what it is. Amen. You walk in that love and say, I refuse to go there. Hold up your hands this morning. Praise God. Woo, God's good. Say, I am a disciple of Jesus. I have authority. He gave them power and authority over unclean spirits to drive them out, to cure all kinds of disease and all kinds of weakness and infirmity. Say, that's me. I receive that today. I walk in love. I walk in forgiveness. I take my authority. I am fully confident today in the blood of Jesus that I'm forgiven. That I'm healed, that I'm prospering in every area of my life. I'm prospering. I have God's protection over me. Guys that ride those motorcycles, that's a good prayer every day. I was sitting at a light here or sitting in traffic here last week, a week or two ago. Guy coming 40 miles an hour, slammed in the back of my Jeep, pushed me about 30 feet ahead. I looked back. I was kind of dazed a little bit. I looked back. His whole truck was just totaled. I was kind of sitting there going, man, you know, wow, that's not good. And I didn't get out. The cop comes up. Are you all right? Yeah, I think I'm good, man. I'm good. Got on the phone with Holly. She was agreeing with me. Honey, I'm agreeing. No whiplash. Hallelujah. I said, no, no whiplash. I didn't have any whiplash. The guy said, officer said, have you got out and looked at your Jeep? I said, no, I haven't got out and looked at my Jeep. He said, well, you need to get out and look at your Jeep. I said, really? He said, yeah, you need to get out and look at your Jeep. Okay. So I got out, went around. He said, there's not a scratch on it. I said, Lord, you are so good. Amen. Felt bad for that guy, his truck. I mean, it was totaled. It was a Toyota, too, a good truck. Wasn't a cheap truck. Man, when things hit you, they just bounce off of you, man. Because you're protected. You're protected. Turn to somebody and say, I'm protected. Psalm 91 is my psalm. Amen? Psalm 91, man, I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Hallelujah. Man, he is my shield, my fortress, my buckler. Hallelujah. He is my truth today. Amen? Man, that is your psalm. Raise up your hand one more time. Say, I am blessed, highly favored, walking in righteousness, empowered to prosper in every area of my life. I receive it today. Amen. Praise God. Give God a praise. Amen. Hallelujah. If you'd like additional prayer this morning,